Right, let me invite you to take and turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, this morning. And I want to reiterate something I said there in the beginning in those introductory comments, that this discipleship is for everybody. Regardless of where you are, what your stage in life is, what your state in life is, this is for you. And if you are someone who says, well, you know, I've already done that, I don't need to do that, then you most certainly need to do that. And I'm an equal opportunity offender, so this is for everybody. We're going to conclude today our series of messages entitled Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. We dealt with the first two topics already, and today we want to talk about rock and roll. Now, I'm not going to talk about rock and roll in the sense of let's go through and talk about different genres of music. Obviously, that's not the point of this or the point of this sermon today. Rock and roll is really a metaphor, at least used in the context here. And it's a metaphor for the things that we see and the things that we hear. It's a metaphor for the things that we see and the things that we hear. Now, you and I both know this to be true. What we eat, physically take into our body, will have an effect on how we live, on what our level of health is, and various things like that. We've learned enough now over the years that we're not supposed to take in too many unsaturated fats, right? You've heard that before. You're not to eat too many fatty foods. You're not to eat too much red meat. Cheryl's attitude is kind of like mine is. By the way, I heard about a good diet for your heart. If it tastes good, spit it out. But the fact of the matter is the things that we consume on a physical side, from a food side, affects our bodies. Now, there are other elements that are at play. There are things like genetics that take part in that. But the reality of it is that what we eat makes a difference in our overall level of health. Whether or not we exercise has an effect on our overall level of health. Well, if that's true of the body, certainly the things that we watch, the things that we see, and the things that we hear have an effect on our heart. We are completely naive if we think, oh, well, I'm above that. You know, I can watch whatever I want to. I can listen to whatever I want to, and somehow think that it does not shape and somehow affect who we are. It's the old IT adage, right? Garbage in, garbage out. The same way that that's true in the food sense, then what we eat has an effect on how we are physically. What we take in the things that we see, the things that we watch, and the things that we hear and we listen to has an effect on who we are. It has an effect on our heart. Now, the wisest man who ever lived knew something about this, even though Solomon didn't have to deal with TV back in his day, and he didn't have to deal with radio back in his day. You know, they didn't have TV back then, but they went to the theater. They didn't necessarily have radios back then, or Walkman, or iPods, or iPads, and all that stuff like that. But they had concerts, they had performers, they had musicians. Some of this stuff is as old as time. And they had to deal with it back then, just like we have to deal with it today. And so the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, tells us something about paying attention to our hearts and what it is that we take in. And this is what he says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, beginning in verse 20. My son, he says, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to hear my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight, keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and gaze, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left, turn your foot away from evil. Now, he's not talking about or addressing here any specific moral issues. What he says here, though, is stay true to wisdom. Why? Because the Bible tells us that wisdom is life. Be wise in your thinking and be wise in your actions. In other words, get your eyes on the right path. Get your ears on the right teaching. Point your feet in the right direction. Get your mouth on the right words. But he says, above all of that, verse 23, and if you've got your Bibles and you write in your Bibles, and I'd encourage you to do so, underline verse 23, because he says, with all vigilance, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Above all things, guard this thing. Now, he's not talking here necessarily about the physical organ of the heart. Certainly, there are times that that references to that, but what he's talking about when he says heart here, he's talking about the very center, the very essence of who we are. It's the center of our being. It encompasses the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual life within all of us. It is who we are. You are what your heart is. And he says, with that, guard it at all cost. Think about it. Think about what comes from the heart. Love comes from the heart. When we talk about loving someone, loving our wives, loving our children, loving our family, it's the seat of affection. That place, we don't talk about loving people from our mind, even though we should love people with our mind, but because the heart encompasses the mind, it encompasses the totality of who we are. It's the seat of affection. And it's also the seat of the opposite of love, which is hate. Think about it. We see it so much in our society today. Hate from the heart. Jesus said, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. Jeremiah says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? It is the seat of who we are. All moral conditions stem from the heart. Why? He says, for from it flow the springs of life. Everything you are and everything that comes out of your mouth and everything that is produced by your being comes from the heart. And in it, we have this incredible capacity to experience joy and vigor, but also the corrupt heart can take one down to the grave, and that's why wisdom is so very important. You must be wise. You must live your life according to truth. We need to understand with our hearts. We need to know with our hearts. It is truth. You see, it's not just about avoiding the bad things of life. We need to do that. We need to take out, cut out certain things. Jesus says, if your right hand causes you to sin, do what? Cut it off. Does he mean to do that literally? No, but he says, turn yourself away from the things that are bad. Years ago, and I've shared this story before, but years ago, I came under the conviction that one of the programs for so long that I had enjoyed watching, I needed to stop watching. Now, I've probably seen every episode of Seinfeld 10 times. And I could quote so many pieces of that sitcom from over the years, but one day I'm watching it, and I became under the conviction of the Holy Spirit that I didn't need to watch this anymore. Why? Well, I realized it's filled with sexual innuendos. All their goals in life are about is hooking up and doing those types of things. And all of a sudden, the things that I had thought were funny that are relatable in life were being drowned out by the fact that that's really what that show was about. And I knew that I needed to lay that aside. But you see, it's not just about cutting out the bad things. It's about filling it with the good things, filling it with truth, transformative truth, the truth of God. Listen to what Paul says to the church at Philippi. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What we fill our life with is not this garbage that we see most of what's on television today, or to fill our ears with most of the garbage that's being put out, but to fill our things with, to fill our lives with things that are noble, with things that are pure, with things that are true. This is what it means to guard our hearts. And I know that this is stepping on some toes because we like our little, you know, shows. We like our little things, not realizing that they're impacting our lives. Think about some of the stuff that our young people listen to today. Go look up some of the songs that you hear today, the lyrics of some of these songs and what they're suggesting that kids do. It's terrible. Well, guess where they get it from? Sometimes they get it from watching us. We need to avoid the bad things and fill ourselves with the good things. Fill ourselves with the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth of God is not just some knowledge that we have of here, but it is transformative truth. Listen, it's the difference of understanding what a kiss really is. You know what I mean? You don't, do you? I want you to think about it like this. Here's the clinical definition of a kiss. This sounds really exciting too, by the way. The pressing of two mandibles together, resulting in the exchange of saliva. That's the technical definition of a kiss. It's exciting, isn't it? I mean, it makes you want to stop and kiss someone, but don't do that because everybody's sick. Well, if you think about God's truth in just that way, it doesn't have a whole lot of meaning, does it? But listen to how Faith Hill describes a kiss. It's the way you love me. It's a feeling like this. It's centrifugal motion. It's perpetual bliss. It's that pivotal moment. It's impossible. This kiss. Unstoppable. This kiss. Now that's exciting. How many of you want the former? How many of you want the latter? Well, that's the difference between a head knowledge of who God is and a heart knowledge of who He is. Don't fill yourself with that garbage out there, that stuff that's on TV, that's some of the garbage that you hear on the radio. Fill yourself with the truth of God and let it transform your life. That's what it means to guard your heart. Guard what you see. Guard what you hear. And be on the right path. He says it. He's repeated it in other places throughout the scriptures, in Deuteronomy and in Joshua, where he talks about not going to the right and not going to the left. Get on the right path and stay on the right path. And being on the right path is filling your head and your heart with the wisdom of God. You know, most of us learned this song when we were little. And the power of the message of this song has been lost on so many of us today, but you'll recognize it. Oh, be careful, little ears. I'm sorry. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, you can sing it with me. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above, and He's looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a Father up above, and He's looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. There's a Father up above, and He's looking down in love. So be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go.
Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. There's a Father up above, and He's looking down in love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. There's a Father up above, and He's looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say.
You notice a progression in that song? I didn't think about this, but as I read this, it starts with, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Because that affects what the hands will do, where the feet will go, and what the mouth will say. You see, it matters. What you watch, what you absorb through your eyes. You know, it's been said that the eyes are the window to the soul. What you watch, what you see matters. What you listen to, what you hear matters. Oh, if we just had an example to follow, right? If someone could just show us, right? Well, someone did. You know, Jesus, He was careful what He saw. He was careful what He heard. He was careful what He did. He was careful where He went. He was careful what He said. Never did He sin. Nothing was found wrong. No one could accuse Him. He lived a perfect life because we couldn't. He died a sacrificial death because we couldn't. He rose again so we could. What you need to do is to put your faith and trust in Him and to follow Him closely. Don't do like those disciples did when Jesus was arrested. They began to follow Him at a distance. Remember Simon Peter? Jesus told Simon Peter, He said, Before the crow cries, you're going to deny me. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. People came up to Him and said, aren't you one of the ones? Weren't you one of His followers? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know Him. He was gathered around a fire warming His hands. He says, somebody came and He said, weren't you with that man from Galilee? He said, I don't know who you're talking about. He began to follow Him at a distance. And sadly today, many people are following Jesus at a distance. Why? Because we want to keep hold of the things that we treasure. We want to keep hold of our television programs and our music and whatever else it is that pleases us, not even realizing what it's doing to us. We need to stop following Jesus at a distance before the rooster crows on us. We need to follow Him closely. We need to be willing to sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be willing to suffer and to give up whatever it is that we need to give up for Him. What a life God has in store for you. Young people over here, all of y'all look up. Do you have any idea what God has in store for you? Do you have any idea the plans that He has for your life and how great they are? Let me tell you what, if you spend your life just following Him marginally on the edge, you'll never know. The only way you're going to ever find out what God has in store for you is to be willing to sacrifice everything there is on the altar of your life so that you can live for Him and find out His plan and His purpose, and God will do things through you that you couldn't possibly imagine. Now, some of you old people in here, do you have any idea of the plan and the purpose that God has for your life? Because you're no different than they are. According to Him, you're all in the same plane. I don't care if you're 85 years old. God's not done with you. You know how I know that? because you're not pushing up daisies. He's not done with you. But maybe you say, well, I hadn't really experienced that fullness of what God wants for my life. Well, guess what? Then start cutting some things out and letting His truth fill you and transform you. What a shame it would be to get to heaven someday and find out all that we missed because of what we weren't willing to give up. What are you going to give up? What are you going to sacrifice? That's the question. Let's bow our hearts together in prayer. I'm going to invite anyone who would come this morning, if you want to come for prayer, if you want to come to make a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, if you want to come today for any reason. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to talk to someone about a struggle in your life. We have deacons, staff members. Come this morning. Come to Jesus today. Maybe you want to come and say, I've got some things I need to lay on the altar here and sacrifice today. You come and sacrifice those things today. Come to Jesus today. Father, we pray this morning. I pray this morning that whatever decision needs to be made in this room today, that it will be made, not put off, not delayed, not waiting for another day, but making the commitment today. I pray for those who don't know you this morning, and certainly in a room this size with this group of people, there's some in here who don't have that real personal relationship with you. I pray that today that they would make that decision to follow you, to confess that they are a sinner and separated from you by their sin, and willing to receive the gift of eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for those in here today who need a church home. And God, they need to make that decision today to make this their church home. I pray for those who have been following so long at a distance, but today they say, no, I don't want... I've seen what the world has to offer, and it doesn't satisfy. I've got hell insurance, but that's all. I want more. I want to know the transformative truth of the gospel. Whatever it is, wherever you are today, God has the answer. Just looking for those who are willing to give up what they think they've got so they can gain what He has for them. I pray that you would come to Him this morning. Father, may your will be done in this place and in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.